Let's get down to business, taking a look at Wall Street. Dow Jones Industrial Average down 12 at 16,272. S&P 500 up 3 at 1923. NASDAQ Composite up 6 at 4,627. Yield on the 10-year Treasury down 2 basis points at 2.04%. Oil down 11 cents at $44.98 per barrel. Gold down $1.80 at $1,114.50, and silver unchanged at $14.63. A quiet finish to a slightly more volatile day. At one point, the Dow was down triple digits, and oil was up over a dollar. Manufacturing grew in September at the slowest pace in more than 2 years. The Institute for Supply Management said its manufacturing index dropped to 50.2 last month, from 51.1 in August, reflecting a stronger dollar and weaker global economy that's hurting U.S. exports of many major American-made goods. That's the weakest reading since May 2013, although any reading above 50 indicates growth. The number of people who applied for unemployment benefits rose by 10,000 to 277,000 for the week ended September 26th, but initial claims remain extremely low. In a sign of steady improvement of the labor market, the average of new claims over the past month, meanwhile, fell by 1,000 to a seasonally adjusted 270,500. The level of new claims sank below 300,000 in early March, and it's remained there for 30 straight weeks. That's a feat last accomplished in 1973, when the nation's working population was 40% smaller. Tomorrow morning is the monthly jobs report from the Labor Department. Construction spending increased 0.7% in August and gained 13.7% over 12 months. Residential construction rose 1.3%, while non-residential construction grew 0.3%. Construction of lodging climbed 2.8%, and has climbed 41.4% over 12 months. Not all American homes are rising in value, and not all markets are experiencing the recovery evenly. According to a report from Zillow, almost 30% of all homes lost value in August compared with a year earlier, and that's down from a high of 65% in 2009, although a normal housing market would be closer to 20%. Overall, the median value of homes rose 3.3% year over year to $180,800, but appreciated at half the pace of August 2014. President Obama has signed into law a bill that extends federal funding until December 11th after the Senate and House yesterday passed the proposal as expected. Had Congress not approved the measures, the government would have shut down today, the first day of the new fiscal year. Republicans and Democrats now have around 10 weeks to formulate a long-term budget, with the parties looking to strike a two-year deal. Hurricane Joaquin is headed for the East Coast. Maybe. Where it lands is still uncertain. Joaquin is a Category 3 hurricane with winds of 125 miles per hour and gusts to 155 miles per hour. An increase of the sustained winds to 130 miles per hour would make it a Category 4 storm. Right now, it's hitting the Bahamas, and within the next 24 hours, it's expected to head north, possibly hitting the Carolinas or Virginia or even making land near New England. The best guesstimates have it headed for New York City. If the hurricane heads for the coast, it will lose some of its punch and slow down to a Category 1 or possibly a tropical depression before landfall. Even if it veers to the northeast and heads out into open waters, it's expected to produce serious flooding. Beyond the wind and rains, there's a strong possibility of waves approaching 30 feet and storm surge of 8 feet. Even as the track of the storm is uncertain, the governors of Virginia and New Jersey have already declared a state of emergency. We all remember Hurricane Sandy, But if current projections hold, Joaquin won't be another Sandy. Still, nature is unpredictable. Parts of the eastern U.S. from Florida to New Jersey are already under flood watches and warnings today, with more than 10 inches of rain already having fallen in some areas this week. The weather is a staple for the commodity markets. The rain and flooding is expected to be a big problem for cotton farmers in Georgia and the Carolinas. Atlantic hurricanes can be mildly bullish for energy markets, as oil and gas platforms could be shut down as a precaution. They could also damage infrastructure, such as refineries and transportation. Traders now expect minimal disruptions to energy markets. The big three U.S. automakers, GM, Ford, and Fiat Chrysler, reported a jump in September sales as cheap gasoline and ultra-low interest rates drove demand for sport utility vehicles and pickup trucks. Total U.S. auto sales, an early glimpse of consumer spending each month, are expected to have risen about 14% last month. According to auto industry consultancy Edmunds.com, sales got a boost from the calendar, with the entire Labor Day weekend falling in September for the first time since 2012. GM said its total sales in September rose 12%. Ford posted sales gains of 23%. Fiat Chrysler says September sales were up 14%. Deere and the United Auto Workers have reached a tentative agreement to replace the 6-year master labor contract that ended midnight last night. The deal is for another 6 years. It'll now go to a vote of the 10,000 Deere manufacturing staff that the UAW represents. Ratification of a contract between the UAW and Fiat Chrysler appears to be impossible after workers at assembly plants in Ohio and Michigan yesterday overwhelmingly voted against a 4-year deal. Samsung is now accused of Volkswagening its TVs. Yep, that's the new word for cheating on environmental test. Independent lab tests show Samsung televisions use less power when they are tested for energy efficiency ratings than during real-world use. Sweden's government has also been looking into TVs from unspecified manufacturers that clearly recognize the video used in testing and which immediately lower their energy use by adjusting the brightness of the display in response. Google and Microsoft have ended a long-running patent spat involving about 20 suits in the U.S. and Germany. Microsoft had alleged that Google's former Motorola mobility unit infringed its intellectual property. Google, which held on to most of Motorola's patents following its sale to Lenovo, alleged that Xbox consoles infringed its patents. Now they've made nice with each other. Google and Microsoft plan to cooperate on various patent issues. The Center for Economic Policy Research says the Eurozone recession is over. Like the National Bureau of Economic Research in the U.S., the CEPR labels recessions based on a variety of economic indicators and not the informal definition of 2 consecutive quarters of negative GDP growth. The CEPR said the period from the third quarter of 2011 to the first quarter of 2013 represented the second post-financial crisis recession in the Eurozone. That was the double dip, and it's over now. The reason the CEPR feels confident in saying the Eurozone is out of the recession is that the duration of the recovery has made up for its slow speed. However, they admit the Eurozone recovery has been unusually lackluster by historical standards. The third quarter was ugly for stocks, but there were a few winners. More than 36 companies in the S&P 500 posted double-digit gains for the quarter. Chipotle, Amazon, and Google posted 20% gains for the quarter. Merger news also pushed some stocks higher, such as Tyco, AGL Resources, Cablevision, Chubb, and Molson Coors. Also making the list, Activision Blizzard, Nike, Under Armour, Best Buy, Royal Caribbean, Southwest Airlines, Reynolds American and Altria. Smoke 'em if you got 'em. Merger activity has been strong in 2015. According to data from Thomson Reuters, $3.19 trillion in deals announced year-to-date, just 2% below 2007 levels. Many of the transactions were worth more than $10 billion, making up 36.5% of the total. In the third quarter, there were fewer deals than in any three-month period this year, yet the dollar volume surpassed $1 trillion. Energy has been the top industry by value as companies sought strength in consolidation as the price of commodities plummeted. There was also a slew of healthcare transactions, especially in insurance and pharmaceuticals. Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley were the top-ranked financial advisors on these deals. Bankers like to make big-dollar loans. They don't like to get their hands dirty with smaller loans, but that doesn't mean they won't take a cut. For many years, the big banks have bankrolled smaller consumer lenders, also known as payday lenders. In the past, they were known as loan sharks, and even as the names changed, the terms did not. These lenders are still charging outrageous rates, sometimes more than 200%, but now the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau is starting to tighten regulations on the consumer lenders. The lenders have come under scrutiny for a range of practices that can lead borrowers to believe they're paying far less in interest and fees than they actually are. Now that regulation is getting tighter, the big banks are trying to protect their loans to the subprime lenders. The big change is an amendment that says that if one of the loan sharking companies faces regulatory action that has a material impact on its business, it would constitute a default. And a default would give the big banks the right to seize the lender's assets, at least in theory, or a pound of flesh if it suits them. J.P. Morgan Chase shareholders have won court permission to pursue their securities fraud lawsuit as class action against the bank over the London Whale trading scandal, which caused a $6.2 billion loss. Shareholders led by pension funds in Arkansas, Ohio, and Oregon alleged that J.P. Morgan CEO Jamie Dimon and CFO Douglas Braunstein knowingly hid increased risk at the chief investment office operating in London, including on an April 13, 2012 conference call when Dimon called reports about the synthetic portfolio a tempest in a teapot. That tempest in a teapot cost the shares some $40 billion in market capitalization, and don't forget the $1 billion in fines reached with the settlement with regulators that included a rare admission of wrongdoing. Follow along at moneyradio.com, and the daily blog is eatthebankers.com.